Okay, so that's pretty much normal stuff about milk. Let's talk a little bit about problems that can occur. So now you sort of know what normal looks like and what normal should be. Let's talk about problems. So first is too little milk. There is only one way to know whether your bitch has too little milk, and that is by weighing your puppies. Some bitches will never bag up. Some bitches bag up and don't have much milk, although that's a little rarer. If you aren't seeing puppies gain 90% of the time in those twice daily weighings, and you do need in those first 3 weeks to be weighing twice a day, particularly if you have smallish puppies, then you cannot know if there's too little milk if you're not doing that. If your puppies are gaining every weighing, say for 4 days, and a couple puppies didn't gain on one weighing out of 4 days, that's fine. They don't need to be supplemented. They're doing fine. But if you begin to see either chronically losing or staying at the same weight, then you do want to step in. Ideally, your puppies are gaining 5 to 10% a day. We love to see 10%, but we can't always do that depending upon the size of the litter. If there's too little milk, what can you do? Whoop. Oh, there we go. Number one, increase your bitch's fluid intake, her water intake. How can you do that? By adding a little bit of liver water to her water, a little bit of chicken broth to her water, by adding water to all of her meals so that she is always getting water. Because a lot of times early on, bitches do not want to drink. Just a reminder, if you're going to put a water bowl in your bit in with your bitch, a lot of bitches don't want water in with their puppies. Make sure the puppies can't crawl into the bowl. It has to be a bucket or something high enough that a puppy can't unintentionally end up inside the bowl. Too little milk, lower her stress. Look for put Adaptyl collars on, put Adaptyl diffusers in, may put white noise machines on so she can't hear the other dogs. Block the other dogs further away from her. Make sure she can't hear outdoor sounds. Anything you can do to lessen her stress. Look at her food. Make sure she's on a reproductive diet. That's the sheets that are in each of the modules that tell you, it's going to be 29% or higher fat, 18% or high, 29% or higher protein, 18% or higher fat. Needs grains if you feed a low carb diet, like a raw diet, she needs grains added, and then high amounts of DHA and the other supplements. Try to increase her quantity. I know that's a battle for sometimes with our bitches, they just don't want to eat that much, but you really want to do all you can to increase the quantity too. And then galactagogues. So really big word for things that make milk product increase milk production. And I'll talk a little bit more about them in a second. And then you can supplement your pups. Supplementing, I had a lot of questions about what nipples to use, what bottles to use, what formula to use. You have it all at your fingertips in the Breeder College resource page. Go there. There will be a link in the course. There is a supplementing your puppies. There's all kinds of stuff there. There's a list of all your supplies. Go there. Your options are to, you really, your only option is to use a milk replacer. We prefer Myra Safant Harris's formula. I think I saw just a post if you're on, somebody posted about a puppy possibly with a vision problem from either Myra's formula or a commercial option. I don't believe that there is any way anymore. We did have supplement or milk replacement cataracts when I first started breeding 40 years ago, but we discovered the problem there, and I just don't think it's a problem. If you're making these formulas correctly, you aren't going to get vision problems from that. You might get them from something else. Not goat's milk. Please, not goat's milk. I know there are many breeders out there that say, oh, I just give goat's milk, but you saw the comparison between goat's milk and dog's milk. Goat's milk alone is not an appropriate replacement. It's great in these other options, in Myra's recipe, and there's commercial options that are goat milk based. That's great, but make sure there's more to it than that. Don't forget to warm the formula. Don't forget to replace it pretty regularly. I replace mine every 2 days or freeze it. I don't leave it out much longer than that. If you have weak or tiny puppies that aren't gaining, you need to tube feed. And yes, you can do it. All of us were terrified the first time we tube fed. But you can, we have videos in the Breeder Resource Center that and follow them step by step. I promise you, if I tube feed puppies today, I have that video going right in front of me. I'm just not tube feeding without the video. Was it Christy that said we have fading breeder syndrome, which I thought was the perfect description for what we're like in the first 3 or 4 days. We're tired. We're not thinking clearly. You've been up a really long time. If you need to tube feed, have the video running in front of you. The reason that we want to tube feed these puppies is because nursing, as you saw in those videos, is a high energy requirement activity. And if you bottle or tube feed these little weak, tiny puppies, they're going to expend more calories than they're going to take in, and you are not going to be benefiting them. But if you've got normal healthy puppies and you just want to top them off, just give them a little extra calories, then you can bottle feed them. Make sure, I know breeding is an investment and you feel like you don't use all the stuff all the time, but inevitably you're going to be trying to bottle feed on a Saturday night in a blizzard. And if you only have one nipple and they don't like it, you are going to be pulling your hair out. So invest in a couple different nipples. They are, again, on your breeder resource page. So you can go there, click on the links. I think Karen Juergen is still making her miracle nipples. So there are many alternatives. I am not a sponge feeder. And I know some people have had success with it. There aren't any sponges that are human grade nutritional products. They aren't made to suck food out of. So for me, I'm not going to use them. And be very cautious with droppers. Puppies don't have a gag reflex. If they are sucking, they can close off their airway. But if you are dropping liquid into them, they are more likely to gag on it and choke and aspirate. So bottles or tubes. A little bit about galactagogue. So the things that promote lactation. There is a growing body of research in people and cows and goats and sheep, but there's not much happening in dogs on these. So we're all just sort of making it up as we go. But there are some options. Oatmeal is a really good one. We need to make sure that our bitches are getting enough carbs. Oatmeal is helpful. Cooked oatmeal and not apple cinnamon instant oatmeal, like real oatmeal that you have to cook. Doesn't take long, but that's what you want to use. Fenugreek, I know many of you have used this in the past. So fenugreek is a great option. Tracy Urban got us a coupon from Mother Love, which makes an organic fenugreek. You get 15% off with Avidog 15. That'll be on your resource page too, but there you go. Get some organic fenugreek. Milk thistle, the liver supplement, is a galactagogue, as is folic acid. It's one of the reasons that I say you can continue folic acid through weaning, because it will assist with nursing. Oxytocin is helpful. They often give oxytocin after C-sections in order to help with milk letdown. And then you can do intranasal. Don't keep injecting oxytocin. It usually doesn't work after a couple of days. You have to do the intranasal version. Your vet can have that made for you. And then metoclopramide can be helpful, but it's sort of losing popularity because it can cause GI problems in bitches. So we had too little milk. What happens if we have too much milk? One of the times that I see breeders complaining about having too much milk and puppies gagging on the milk and struggling with the milk is because they're taking their puppies away from their bitch and putting them back and taking them away and putting them back. The more puppies can be with their moms, the less that milk production is going to have an impact on them. And this is early on. Don't be locking your dams in with four-week-old puppies or you'll have dead puppies. But early on, in the early weeks, keep your bitches as close to those puppies 24/7 as you can. I know that's tough in bulldogs, but it can be a problem, even more of a problem if they aspirate. Cut back on her food. So we're typically going to be feeding 200, 250, 300%, even more. If she's got too much milk, take her back to maintenance. Keep her on a quality diet, but take her back to maintenance. Lower the carbs in her food if you can. So you can do that if you feed raw, simply by cutting back down on your grains. If you feed a kibble, then you want to just feed part kibble and part raw is a great way to do it, even if you cook the raw. But you can begin to rebalance it by feeding a balanced quality food. Don't just be throwing chicken in there. Balanced quality food that has higher protein and fat and lower carbs. Take folic acid out if you've been feeding it. Stop all galactagogues. This is where people get into problems with supplementing on day two because they think the milk isn't in. And now they end up with too much milk and their puppies are aspirating and their puppies, a lot of those puppies can't handle the heaviness of the breast tissue. So don't start galactagogues early. You can add dried sage to her diet. I don't have a great formula for it, but I'll just give you, if you have a 55 to 60 pound dog, you should do a tablespoon of dried sage in the morning and a tablespoon of dried sage at night. So that's 1 teaspoon per 20 pounds is a good way to think about it. 1 teaspoon of just dried sage that you get at the grocery store, add that to her food and that will help dry her up. It's also a good way if you have to take your puppies off your bitch or at the end, if she still just has too much milk, dried sage is a great way to do it. You can do cool compresses. So we do warm compresses for mastitis. We do cool compresses for too much milk. And just remember, the more you express milk. So a lot of people want to express milk because their bitch is really uncomfortable with too much milk. The more you do that, the more milk she's going to produce. And so you're going to get yourself into a vicious cycle. Obviously, you don't want her in agony, but cool compresses are usually more effective than expressing milk. So let's talk mastitis and congestion. This picture looks like it's pixelated. Sorry, I don't know how it looks to you guys. This is not mastitis. This is congestion. This is the bitch whose puppies were weaned at 3 weeks because the breeder thought that was the right thing to do. I can't even imagine the discomfort that this bitch is in with those glands. But this is not mastitis. Is it likely to lead to mastitis? Yes. But this right now is just congestion. So you're going to, when you see congestion, it's heavily laden. They're swollen. You can see that here. They are often hard. So as the gland begins to congest, they get hard and you can't get milk out of them because they're just so hard. It's actually so much milk, you can't get milk out. Puppies often can't nurse on these glands because they are too heavy. The puppies aren't able to manipulate them and the glands are so hard that they can't get milk out of them. You'll often see this, not in this poor bitch that was weaned too early, but in a bitch that is really anxious suddenly about nursing her puppies. You just can't get her to nurse or suddenly she's not wanting to. That's because this hurts. And the bitch is driven to nurse. She's completely conflicted because she knows she needs to nurse. And yet it's so painful. She has trouble making herself nurse. And so what do you do with this? The treatment is warm water compresses and cabbage compresses. So kind of hot, but I don't want you burning this. It's already really painful for the bitch. So you're going to do, you know, pretty warm water, and you're going to do the frozen cabbage. And I'll talk about that in just a sec with mastitis. And then as soon as these glands are softened, you can start expressing them or put puppies on them, one or the other. This is actually a time to express milk. And then most of the questions that people had were on mastitis, the fear of mastitis. Mastitis is an inflammation of the breast tissue. It usually results from a bacterial infection such as E. coli. People panic when they hear E. coli, but there is, I promise you, there is E. coli all over your whelping box. It is a common pathogen that we all deal with on a daily basis, and especially dogs who lick their butts and lick other people's butts. And, you know, bitches are licking puppy butts. So there's a lot of E. coli because it's a normal digestive bacteria. But it can end up sort of running rampant in mastitis. It only occurs in less than 1% of litters. So I know we're afraid of it, but it is not common. And often we see congestion and think it's mastitis, but it doesn't really matter because it's the same treatment initially. But I think I want to just tell everybody not to panic over mastitis. I know the bad cases are pretty bad. And so as you've probably heard or seen, that mastitis can range from mild to fatal. The fatal are typically sepsis sets in. They are not common. They are either called septic mastitis or gangrenous mastitis, but the vast majority of cases of mastitis are very mild. I will tell you that mastitis can happen very quickly. Within hours, you can have gone to bed and checked mammary glands and you come back in the morning and now you have a problem. That's how quickly these infections can spread. So you just have to have a plan, know what you're going to do, write it down if you need to, have it on your whiteboard like Celeste. These are the steps I'm going to take, and have everything on hand. What causes it? I had some questions on that. So the seeing eye, which is a large guide dog breeding facility who's done some great research because they produce 800 to 900 puppies a year. So they have the quantity that we don't have to be able to check things. So they found a genetic basis in mastitis, and they started, for the really serious cases, they started pulling bitches out of the breeding program if their mothers had had very serious mastitis. And they found that their rates of mastitis went way down. But they also had tried to use bag balm, which is, if you've never seen bag balm, it comes, I should go get it, but it comes in a little green can, and it's sort of considered a nipple cream, but it's very waxy. And what they found was that by putting bag balm on the mammary glands, that they were actually holding bacteria in. And so typically the bitch is going to be cleaning herself, or she's going to be moving around and the bacteria aren't getting sealed into the breast tissue. So I know a lot of people are really hyper about this. And so they start using bag balm, or they start washing their bitch down with chlorhexidine or something like that. Don't be doing that. You can put water on those mammary glands, but don't mess with the normal bacteria flora that is on those glands that is maintaining a status quo most of the time. Folic acid does not cause mastitis. I know that question has come up this week on the list. There is absolutely no evidence of that. Something else has caused it. It was not folic acid. So first, let's talk about avoiding mastitis, because that's the preferred case. So you're going to examine your bitch's mammary glands at least once daily. It's a lot better to do it four times daily or more. You're going to give sunflower lecithin powder or granules daily, starting a day or two after birth, kind of, you know, once whelping's done and she started eating again, hopefully a day or two after, you're going to add sunflower lecithin to it. That's in your resource page, all the details on it, where to find it, how much to give. So go to your resource page. Trim your puppy's nails. You could see how vigorous those puppies were pumping. They scratch the bitch's mammary glands. Now that E. coli has a way in, the tissue has been breached. And so the more we can keep those nails trimmed, you can either cut them or Dremel them, but you should do it every 3 days. Keep that whelping box and pad. So your whelping box should be disinfected and your whelping pad should be sanitized, so washed in hot water. I have to tell you, I'm not the best housekeeper in the world. I'm not a particularly, my grandmother always said you have to eat a peck of dirt before you die. Now, I don't know how much peck is, but it's a lot. So I know that dirt isn't a bad thing. But when I look at whelping pads that have feces on them or fecal spots of poop on them, I'm going to push you to change them more often, to get more pads and change them more often, because your bitch is going to lie down on that. And we know E. coli is in feces. And if you can see a spot, you know there's bacteria on there and your bitch is now lying in it and her mammary glands are against it. So especially in those first couple of weeks, just rigorously change those pads. I know it's a crazy amount of laundry, or call Marcy and Lisa and get more pads, but it really is worth it to avoid mastitis. Quick response to any change in the breast. Anything that looks like it's getting congested or warm, you're going to change. And if you see breaks in the nipple, you don't have to use lanolin or nipple cream all the time. Just if you begin to see breaks in the nipple because the puppies are nursing so hard, then use lanolin. And again, Mother Love gave us this coupon, so we have a chance to get some organic nipple cream. Signs of mastitis. So that's how to prevent it. What are we looking for? We're looking for breasts that have an orange peel. I don't know how well you can see that, but you'll be able to look closely at it. But you can see the ripples in the breast tissue here. That is what we are talking about with an orange peel appearance. It looks and feels like there's something in it. This one actually felt like there was a piece of plastic in it. You can see, like, this is the body up here where it's dark, and this breast is sticking out laterally because of the inflammation in that breast tissue. This is mastitis. And then any kind of sores, this is an abscess. Anytime you see those abscesses, you have mastitis, you are going to start treating immediately. Don't go to bed, just start treating. Mastitis can be far more subtle too. We are often looking at breast tissue, but sometimes we just have to look at the bitch. She seems off. She's suddenly lethargic. She has a fever. She's not eating. Now, a bitch that never started eating, that's not going to be a sign. But you have a bitch that was eating normally and suddenly just appears not herself again. And her breasts look normal. This can be mastitis. It can be that subtle. If you see these things, pain, fever, lethargy, lack of appetite, and the breast tissue looks normal, go see your vet. They usually have better hands than we do. They can feel heat better than we can, and they can often identify it early. So how do you know if you have mastitis? Often bitches have fevers. If you take her temperature and she's 102.9 or higher, you are going to the vet. If she's 103.9 or 104 higher, you are going to start cooling her down. You can do that with cool tells. You cool them down, you don't chill them down. Don't freeze them because their body's already in a tenuous place. You don't want to put them in shock, but you want to start cooling towels and wrapping them around her back, and you are heading to the vet immediately. While you're going, or if your bitch doesn't have a high fever, say she's 102.6 and she's been 102. Start warm compresses 20 minutes on at least for every 2 hours. You can do more than that. You can hot compress a lot. And I always call them hot compresses, but please make sure you touch them and it should not be burning your bitch. Last thing you want to do is have a bitch with mastitis and you put too hot a compress on her. She'll be really miserable. You're going to alternate those warm compresses with cool either refrigerated or frozen cabbage leaf compresses. And so you're, I know it sounds really weird. We have no idea what it, why it works, but it does. You're just going to have a cabbage head in your refrigerator, peel off a leaf, plaster it up against the breast tissue and take vet wrap and wrap it around her body. You can hold it on if you want, but you can also just vet wrap it on. So that cabbage stays on until it's wilted. You can replace the cabbage as often as you want. So you're going to hot compress and cabbage and hot compress and cabbage. Keep the puppies nursing on that gland. Unless straight pus comes out, even the most horrifying looking mastitis cases have milk that puppies can handle very easily. You often have to put the strongest puppy on those glands because they're going to be able to draw the milk out of the inflammation. If you're going to hand strip, be very, very gentle. We are not good hand strippers. We can use, I forgot to go pull out my pump, which is simply a 20cc syringe with the end cut off that you can draw milk with, but it's hard on breast tissue. And if you already have a bitch that has inflamed breast tissue, you need to handle it really carefully for her or she's going to be in a lot of pain. Okay, all that's not working. You can end up with discolorations like dark purple or green or black, or like this one, you can get an abscess or an open wound. If you see any of these, you are on your way to the ER or your vet immediately. The discoloration is a sign of gangrene setting in, and it can happen very, very quickly. So you want to be at your vet immediately. Antibiotics are usually, not always, but usually very successful. The two we've had the most luck with are Clavamox and Cephalexin. Amoxi, maybe you guys have had good luck with it. We have not had good luck with Amoxi and mastitis. The benefits of Clavamox and Cephalexin is the puppies can continue to nurse. It won't harm the puppies. Baitrol is sort of the next step up if you have a really, really sick bitch, but you likely will have to wean the pups. Until recently, we said you always have to wean, but I know there's word on the street now that maybe you don't have to, but you're going to have to talk to your vet about that. Baitrol's always been one where you have to wean. Okay, I hate to leave on this note because it's kind of a gory note, but let's take a step back and think of all the great things about milk and milk production. So the number one thing to remember is that nature is phenomenal in this. I mean, it's just amazing. It's why I said it's the miracle of lactation, because it works the vast majority of the time. And we don't even think about it. You know, it's just working and things are going fine. In my opinion, breeders are interfering now more with lactation than I've ever seen in the past. And I don't know if it's the internet and people are connected more and they hear about horror stories or, you know, they know that I can give fenugreek and gosh, should I do it, you know, when the first puppy is born? I mean, people are just in there messing with what is a pretty fine-tuned system. And so the more you can understand from today and from the other things we have in the course and your other readings, the more you can understand about milk production and lactation, the sort of the process of lactation. What is the dam doing? What is she doing when? The better off you are going to be, because you're going to know what's normal. And we don't inherently know what's normal in dogs. If you haven't bred dogs before, normal looks a little weird. But you want to know what's normal and you want to know when you need to get involved and you want to know how you should get involved.